And we, in the meantime, will go on to case number 013270, and that is International Medical Group versus the American Arbitration Association. Mr. Zusi, if you... Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Jonathan Zusi. I'm General Counsel for International Medical Group in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I'm counsel of record for Sirius International Insurance Corporation, an insurance company headquartered in Stockholm, Sweden. We have today somewhat of a garden variety personal jurisdiction analysis to be considered by the court, overlaid on a 12b6 failure to state a claim analysis with respect to one of the defendants. It is not without some intrepidation that my clients today ask the court to recognize and to rein in what we feel is a small monster that has been judicially created unwittingly in the expanding world of alternative dispute resolutions.
Let me tell you, Mr. Zusi, my problem with this case, insofar as it focuses on the American Arbitration Association and any of its employees, your case strikes me as actually a pretty garden variety challenge to the scope of an arbitration clause. Is your company in? Is your company not in? You know, there are various wrinkles to that. Those happen all the time, and what happens is the person who thinks they shouldn't be required to arbitrate brings a lawsuit or defends a lawsuit against the person who's trying to compel arbitration, in this instance, Mr. Ogden, either before a court, typically it's a court that decides the question of arbitrability, sometimes that's confided to an arbitrator, it depends on the arbitration agreement, and the appropriate tribunal makes a decision. Is this for arbitration or is it not? The association, whether it's the AAA, whether it's the Swedish Chamber of Commerce, whether it's the International Chamber of Commerce or whatever, is not, except in the most extraordinary circumstances, which we do not have here, seems to me, although I'd be happy for you to correct me, but at least in the normal case, you would have to agree, does not bring in the entity that supervises the arbitration. There's a procedure available for deciding arbitrability questions that gets invoked by people, and that takes us to your personal jurisdiction issue. One of the people you named as a non-AAA defendant was Mr. Ogden, and the court finds no personal jurisdiction in Indiana over him. Insofar as the case is about that, it strikes me it is a pretty ordinary case, and we can just decide the personal jurisdiction issue. But I have a real problem with your bringing in the AAA.
I understand your problem, Your Honor, and we knew that we were going to be faced with one strike against us in that regard in coming here today. Your question raises a number of issues, and I think the major distinction between the premise of your question and our case today when you review the other case law that's existing and that's been cited in the briefs, is that my employer, my client, IMG, was not a party to the arbitration agreement that was presented to the AAA for arbitration.
But you see, that kind of argument happens all the time. Take a construction site where there's a dispute between the company that's commissioned the construction of the building and the general contractor. Arbitration begins, and all of a sudden a subcontractor is brought in. And the subcontractor says, hey, I never signed an arbitration agreement with the client who wants the building built. The only arbitration agreement is between the general and the client. Those kinds of questions get resolved. It's a very legitimate question to raise. I don't have any problem with that being an important issue for your client.
When we raised that question, Your Honor, we were not permitted a resolution of the answer.
But the person you raise it with is not with the AAA. You raise it with the other party to the arbitration, and your problem there is you bumped into the personal jurisdiction issue.
Here were the four choices that we were faced with when we raised the issue. And by the way, in the 2 years that this case has gone on, no one from the other side has indicated why they think they have jurisdictional authority over IMG. But the four situations, the choices we had were to pay money to the AAA in the form of fees and to go to Miami to conduct an arbitration and to pay fees to an arbitrator in Miami and allow him to decide whether we should be there or not.
You could have gone to a state court in Florida and sought an injunction against Mr. Ogden. That's where he lives.
That likewise would have required paying money to go to Florida, hiring a lawyer, paying filing fees, starting. We did those same things in Indiana.
But let's look at it this way. If Ogden had sued IMG for breach of contract in state court, and the state court mistakenly asserted jurisdiction over IMG, maybe believing it to be liable under, I don't know, some agency theory, could IMG sue the state court and the judge for malicious prosecution and all these other theories that IMG raises against AAA?
The distinction between the immunity that courts and judges and court clerks have as compared with the judicial-created immunity that the AAA and arbitrators supposedly have, is that in the court system, in the judicial system, there are still controls, there is still accountability based upon legislative rulemaking, statutes that apply to judges and court systems, original writs of mandamus and prohibition that a litigant can seek to restrain, if you will, uncontrolled or abusive court rulings. In this situation, IMG doesn't have those protections.
But that's just not right. Think of the Supreme Court's decision in First Options against Kaplan. That's a case which dealt with resolving the kind of question you're raising. Is this actually arbitrable? Is there an agreement? Arbitration is a function of agreement. These cases exist, and the judicial system is there at least to allocate decision responsibility for resolving an arbitrability issue. And one of the questions that can come up is precisely the one you're posing. Is there an agreement between IMG and Mr. Ogden that would support arbitration? If there isn't, you can't have an arbitration. If there is, it has to go forward.
Your Honor, that's our point. And we also look to the Supreme Court AT&T Technologies case, which says that the issue of arbitrability is for the court and not for the arbitral body or for the arbitrator. But in this case, the AAA did decide arbitrability.
No, it didn't.
Certainly it did, Your Honor. They ordered us to go to Miami or to face the consequences of a default. In which case, had we done nothing, we would have, under our under Indiana's own Arbitration Act, the Uniform Arbitration Act, we would have waived rights to collaterally attack that default judgment.
But what they said to you was, if there's a court order, we will, of course, respect it, which they did when the Marion County Court initially issued its order. They weren't saying, they were just saying, in the absence of anything else that we're hearing, we're going to go forward. You never got a court order beyond the Marion County one, which they abided by, saying that this couldn't be arbitrated.
They challenged us to go get that court order, and then they told us that we had no jurisdiction over them to enforce it upon them.
Look, they're the wrong party.
Your Honor, we believe that this court's Caudill decision by Judge Easterbrook, under somewhat different facts, but
that's very important.
Well, Caudill, as we know, was a man that was very upset with Sears, who he had entered into a distributorship agreement for, and was litigating. I think it was the third lawsuit that finally got before this court. And Judge Easterbrook, recognized that there may be certain circumstances under which the AAA could be held liable. The hypothetical was that they had taken his money and refused to arbitrate.
His dispute there was with the AAA.
That's right.
Which is not the case here.
Well, IMG's dispute today is with the AAA for its abuse of its jurisdictional, purported jurisdictional authorities and powers over IMG, which IMG believes were inappropriately invoked.
Let me ask you this. You had mentioned that all these cost factors were taken into consideration. You have to pay to go down to Miami, and you'd have to pay an arbitrator and all this. This is not a very big claim. Is there more lurking here?
No, it's not a big claim.
Is this a $10,000 case?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. But are we forced to pay the $10,000 every time one of these cases comes up?
Well, you're going to have to resolve the case in some form or another.
That's
a
right.
A court, an arbitration tribunal. It's not like you get off if there's a dispute. If you happen, I mean, of course, if you're in the right, you're in the right. But if you're not, there can be litigation with costs.
I notice I'm into my rebuttal time. All litigation is costly, Your Honor, and no one has done more in this case than IMG to try and prevent this case from getting here to this court or from taking place at all. We tried to explain early on that we were not a party, that we had no business being involved in the case, and that the arbitration agreement supposedly invoked was inoperable. The precondition clearly hadn't been met, and most of those facts have been admitted by all. Yet we're still here today arguing. We've spent 2 years and lots of time trying to figure out which court we should be in, whether the Indiana court system has a forum to protect its citizens from what we feel are abusive tactics in using the arbitration process. And we're still here at square one, whether no matter how this court rules. So I'll be back after the other side, and we'll finish up. Thank you for your
time. Thank you. Mr. Reedman.
May it please the court, my name is Arthur Friedman. I'm appearing on behalf of the American Arbitration Association and Janella Brown, case manager in Georgia. It's our position in short and in brief, and I think Judge Wood and Judge Rovner both articulated it in questions to opposing counsel. This is a dispute as to arbitrability. And we shouldn't be parties to this lawsuit.
So let me just play the devil's advocate here for a minute, Mr. Friedman. Suppose the AAA sent out a notice commanding appearance in an arbitration appearance proceeding to the man sitting in the back row of the courtroom. Just picked him out, said, we're going to require you to come forward and defend. And he looks at this thing and says, I've never signed any arbitration agreement. I don't have any business with you. Why should I have to spend all this money, you know, to go and convince either a court or you that I don't belong here? That, I think, is the gist of Mr. Azuzzi's claim, and it seems to me there must be some outer limit. You know, they get the name of the wrong person, or they get the wrong company, or they randomly go around and pick somebody. There's got to be a point at which you don't have to go to that expense.
I understand that question, and I'm sure there is a point, but I don't think it's here. This is a case where the statement of claim that was submitted and attached to and made a part of the demand for arbitration identifies as respondents the Sirius International Insurance Corporation of Sweden and the International Medical Group, and it identifies the International Medical Group as the plan administrator for this insurance policy. Not only that, but it identifies, the papers in this case identify the International Medical Group as being the general underwriter of this insurance policy. And I must say that when this matter began, Mr. Azuzzi was representing and is still representing both parties. One is the issuer of the insurance policy, one is the plan administrator and the general underwriter. So it's not as though we, as an arbitral association, picked out someone arbitrarily from the back of the room and said that he should respond to procedural steps. And what happened, it's interesting to note that what happened here is that initially both Sirius and IMG were parties in their suit against the AAA and its case administrator, and subsequently they decided that they weren't going to continue the appeal on behalf of Sirius. But my point is that both of these parties were named and have certainly an arguable relationship here. And the position that we take is that this is a dispute. It is, I think, accurately a garden variety dispute as to whether a given dispute is, as to whether a given matter is arbitrable or not. It's a matter that is ripe for judicial determination, and it seems to me clear that if Mr. Azuzzi felt that either IMG or Sirius was not properly a party to a dispute that called for arbitration, he could have filed a suit in Florida. He chose to file it in Indiana, and I don't speak to whether parties who had requested the arbitration are subject to jurisdiction there, but it seems clear that he could have filed it in Florida, and it's not surprising, shouldn't be surprising to him or anybody else to find a lawsuit there because they issued an insurance policy to somebody who lives in Florida. They could have, if they had wanted to, in their insurance contract, made some kind of limitation on where suits could be brought, but they didn't do that. So it's not, I think, not at all unfair to expect that if they feel they have a dispute, they can get judicial resolution.
Of course, you're proposing some form of immunity for
yes.
AAA.
That's right.
What should be the limits of that immunity?
I think that the limit is that if the dispute is as to arbitrability, the arbitrability of a dispute, then immunity applies. That's what the court held, what this court held 25 years ago in the Tamari case. That's what the First Circuit held in the New England Cleaning Services case, which is which we cited, really, which is very much on point, it seems to me. And I'm quoting here from that case at page 545. Arbitral immunity is essential to protect decision makers from undue influence and protect the decision-making process from reprisals by dissatisfied litigants and organizations that sponsor arbitrations, as well as arbitrators themselves, enjoy this immunity from civil liability. And it seems to me that whereas here the issue has to do with the arbitrability of a dispute, the tribunal and the tribunal personnel should be immune from suit, just as a court or the clerk of a court is immune from suit as well. And the same policies apply, and in my view, that's what should happen here. This is not a dispute, and I submit with respect, that should have involved the AAA or its Georgia case administrator in a suit for malicious prosecution or anything else.
Why is there jurisdiction over your part of this suit?
I beg your pardon?
Why is there subject matter jurisdiction in the federal court over your part of this lawsuit? Do you see, is this a supplemental jurisdiction theory or what? I mean, the allegation is made that the basic suit arises under an international commercial arbitration agreement and thus Chapter 2 of the Federal Arbitration Act. I'm not sure what the nature of these claims brought against you are. They look like state claims to me.
Your Honor, that's a question for which I don't have an immediate answer.
Okay.
I wasn't involved in the matter below.
That's all right. I think it's a troublesome question, but anyway, we'll move on.
Thank
Perhaps
you.
Your colleague will have an idea.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Juan Rodriguez on behalf of the non-AAA defendants, Your Honor. The issue with respect to the non-AAA defendants is very simply whether or not the trial court it was correct in dismissing the case for lack of personal jurisdiction. Mr. Ogden, as has been pointed out already, is a Florida resident.
He did a lot of things with Indiana, though. Doesn't this depend on how broadly or narrowly we look at the facts in this case? We want to look at it very narrowly. Yes, he does live in Florida, but he certainly had contacts with Indiana as well, didn't he?
But let's look at those contacts, Judge. I mean, his contact was that his lawyers filed a statutory bad faith notice.
They're his agents, so
They're
that's the
agents.
Same as him
that's,
doing
that's,
it.
That's one contact. The other contact
So he's invoking the protection of Indiana law, for sure. He's actually going to an Indiana state agency.
He's going to an Indiana state agency because they have arguably regulatory authority over IMG.
Right, but all I'm saying is that, I mean, the phrase is, have you invoked the benefits and protections of the law of the state in particular? And when you actually go to an agency of the state and say, please protect me, it sounds like it's a pretty straightforward case.
But that doesn't necessarily mean, Judge, that he couldn't sue in Florida for bad faith. Because he could sue Sirius International in Florida.
Whether he could sue in Florida is a different question from whether IMG was compelled to go only to Florida as opposed to having Indiana as another option.
That's correct, but the point I'm trying to make is that state courts all the time, under conflict of laws principles, will enforce the laws of other states and causes of actions arising in other states. If a Florida court has
That's true, but why is that pertinent?
Because Mr. Ogden can sue in Florida and can sue for bad faith under Indiana statute.
But
so
why must he go to Florida if he's had contacts that you just described with Indiana?
Well, no. The point I'm trying to make is that the fact that he invokes Indiana's regulatory power over this defendant doesn't necessarily mean that he intends to sue them in Indiana. He can sue them wherever he can get jurisdiction over them. The cause of action that he may sue in Florida court may be for bad faith under Indiana statute. But the fact that he filed a notice with the Indiana regulatory authority saying, hey, they're not paying me correctly, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to avail himself of Indiana's state court. Because he can avail himself of the Florida state court and sue Sirius International in Florida and bring account for breach of contract and bring account for statutory bad faith under Indiana statute, if that's the law that controls the cause of action.
And I take it your answer would be Florida if I would ask you where it would have been proper to sue Ogden.
It would be Florida because Florida not only is where he resides, but it's also where he submitted the application.
Anywhere else?
No.
Not the UK? I thought he was a British subject.
He's a British citizen, but who, at the time that he applied for this insurance policy, he was a resident of British Columbia in Canada and was in the process of moving into Florida. If you look at the application, he applied as a resident of British Columbia. And
so maybe B.C. also.
Possibly. But he then moved to Florida, and obviously the medical expenses were incurred in Florida, and the failure to pay occurred in Florida. So the breach of the contract occurred in Florida, and that's Florida would be the one that has proper jurisdiction. The question, though, for the court is how, whether or not there was any proper personal jurisdiction over the attorneys that acted on his behalf.
Could you tell me who Jeffrey Slaughter is, by the way? I see your brief is signed.
He's our local counsel judge.
That's not revealed any place, I don't think. It's not on your circuit rule.
He was our local counsel, 26. And when we were admitted to act before the court, he didn't enter an appearance in this case.
It should have been put on your circuit rule 26.1 disclosure statement. What if he was somebody's cousin up here?
Judge, I apologize. That must have been an oversight. The question, Judge, is whether or not there is proper personal jurisdiction over the attorney for Mr. Hodson. The only actions taken by them were a bad faith statute notice, a letter demanding payment or else we would arbitrate, and a copy of the demand for arbitration. And even then, the demand for arbitration under the insurance policy required that notice be given to a Mr. Dawson, who's an attorney in New York and who's designated by Sirius International as the proper person to receive notice. IMG just got a copy of the demand for arbitration. That in and of itself, even though the trial held that for the sake of argument, they would find that was doing business in Indiana, I think the trial court was proper in saying that that's not the type of activity that shows any continuous or systematic availment of Indiana. And on that basis, jurisdiction was not appropriate over the defendants, and it clearly comes within the Wallace decision of this court.
If you're right that they had no business suing you, and you are correct in your assertion that you are entitled to Rule 38 sanctions here, it just seems to me that for a $10,000 case, now we got a lawyer from Miami seeking expenses and fees or sanctions here, that this case has been just so blown out of proportion that it's difficult to...
Judge, I absolutely agree. There's no reason why I should have been sued or my law firm in Florida should have been sued. There's no reason we should have been here, period. Because what Mr. Susi failed to understand is that if he wanted to stop the arbitration, he could have walked into Florida court, state court or federal court, and gotten an injunction. As simple as that. Or to respond to the judge's question earlier, he could have also made a tactical decision that I'm not going to do anything, and when they come to enforce a judgment, I will collaterally attack it and show that there was no agreement. But to sue lawyers for malicious prosecution is quite honestly outrageous, in my opinion, Judge. There are no other questions.
Thank you. Mr. Susi, 2 minutes.
Thank you. Why don't you pick up on that last point?
Absolutely. Because I'm very concerned about Your Honor's concern that seems to say that this is an unimportant case. As general counsel for International Medical Group...
My question is about suing these Miami lawyers up here in Indiana.
Fraud is rampant in the insurance industry. And as our brief tries to explain to Your Honor...
It's a strange thing for a lawyer in the insurance industry.
We see fraud all the time. We defend fraudulent medical claims all the time. This case... is about an insurance fraud perpetrated by Mr. Ogden against Sirius International. I want to make sure the court also understands the distinction between IMG and Sirius. IMG was appointed by Sirius under a separate binding authority agreement to act as its managing general underwriter. IMG doesn't take the insurance risk and it doesn't enter into insurance contracts. It does it as it acts as a disclosed agent on behalf of the insurance company, Sirius. When we are faced with fraudulent insurance claims as the plan administrator, IMG is charged with the duty to protect the interests of its principal, Sirius, and to enforce the provisions of the insurance contracts as best as it can. When an applicant on his application for insurance discloses...
Nobody here saying that you can't claim that there was an undisclosed precondition, pre-existing condition that wasn't listed on the policy, or you have policy defenses here. The question is suing the lawyers in Miami up here in Indiana.
The lawyers were the ones, Your Honor, that, as Judge Wood pointed out, came to Indiana and invoked the privileges and protections and the benefits of the Indiana Department of Insurance, filing a complaint against IMG in Indiana, subjecting IMG to potential administrative hearings, damages, revocation of our licenses.
Did you ever claim that you were the wrong party to answer such a claim in the Department of Insurance?
When we answered the Department of Insurance, who forwarded Ogden's complaint to us, we pointed out to the department, again, the relationship that I just pointed out to your Honor.
Didn't you respond by denying liability?
We responded on behalf of Sirius by pointing out that we already had denied all liability for the medical claims.
And you also claimed you were the wrong party to answer?
I'm not sure if we did it at the Department of Insurance level, Your Honor. But they certainly know about our company and the relationship between IMG and Sirius. I know my time is up. If there are any other...
Take another minute if you had something you wanted to respond to, because we asked you some questions.
If I may stick up for my friend, Mr. Slaughter, I just wanted to let the court know that he did file a disclosure statement and then was replaced by counsel. One of the questions that was raised was the federal jurisdiction and the removal issue that Your Honor raised. And we hope that you reinstate some of these claims and send it back. And when you do, we think that it's important that although the district court didn't talk about the state law claims as part of its analysis of removal, there was an issue, and you'll find it in one of the footnotes of the order denying remand that talks about the nominal party nature of the AAA. And the district court seemed to suggest that because IMG and Sirius did not object to a characterization of the AAA as a nominal party, but that was the basis for which the district court could decide to accept federal jurisdiction, even though they had not consented to the removal. And the burden to show federal court jurisdiction is upon the removing parties, the parties requesting removal. It was shown to the district court that the AAA not only had not objected, but they had also expressly not consented to removal. And so we think that if this court should find that cause of actions do exist in our favor and send it back to the district court, we would suggest that federal court jurisdiction overall should perhaps be reviewed and in fact require a remand to the state court due to the technical errors of the removal.
Let me just get this right. Are you arguing that they consented to jurisdiction by continuing with the arbitration after you issued your warning?
They, being the AAA?
Yes.
Consented to jurisdiction in Indiana. Well, the AAA as a separate entity never opposed personal jurisdiction over it, just the employees. And that was not part of the district court's decision as to whether they had personal jurisdiction over the AAA. For the AAA, we were only arguing about whether there was a valid cause of action against them. Does that answer your question?
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
One and all, thank you very much. And the case will be taken under advisement.